be cast out of that system and be replaced with healthy cells. Father, you created our bodies with an immune system that functions to kill off cancer every day of our lives and replace our unhealthy cells with healthy ones. We're simply asking you, Lord, to activate that system in a way that is beyond the norm. And Father, we speak your peace and grace, and we pray that faith would rise up in the hearts of your people. That, Lord, we wouldn't just look at this report or that report, but we would believe your testimony. And we thank you for it. Father, I pray for John Ternas, a member of my own church, Lord, who's been diagnosed. And he is fighting that, Lord God. And I thank you. And I set myself in agreement with him that by your stripes he is healed. That's what he himself says. And we agree together with that for him, for his wife, Wilma. And we speak grace and peace over him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tina, do you have some sponsors over there that you want to share?
I do, but our friend and faithful listener, Mignon Sayre, also asked us to pray for her.
Okay, we'll Mignon Sayre.
Father, we bring Mignon before you today, and we know, Lord, that she loves you. We know that you love her first, and that's why she loves you, Lord God. And I'm just reminding myself and reminding her and honoring you by saying, Lord, we remember all that you've done, all that you've done for her already. And God, we know that you're not through, you're not finished. We release grace to receive your touch of healing today. We release grace to receive your peace that supersedes anything, any thoughts of torment or confusion or fear. Father, I release your grace and your peace. And I pray, Lord, that whatever it is that Mignon needs in her life today, Father, everything, more than one thing, that God, you'd show up in a great big way so that she could just testify of your goodness and that people could literally see it. Well, you had this issue, you had this problem, but you don't anymore. And she can give you praise in that. Father, we praise you before the breakthrough, but we want to praise you in the breakthrough. So we ask you to move on her behalf in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Gateway Church is our Facebook sponsor today. They are located at 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors and would love for anyone to come just as you are and join them for any of their worship services. Their service times are Sunday morning worship at 10:30, Sunday Spanish service at 2 p.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday night 6:30 for Bible engagement, and 7 p.m. for Bible study. If you need more information, you can contact them at 580-225-4646. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Okay. I'm going to play an ad from Chasten this morning. I haven't listened to it. Yeah, that's okay. I haven't listened to it yet, so hopefully it's ready to go. He recorded yesterday after he got through, and so I will play that, and we'll see whether it needs any tweaking or not. Anyway, so stay tuned for our sponsors. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much.
Barbadoes and Ford of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at barbadoesandford.net.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by...
Okay. Well, Chasten's ad didn't have enough volume on it, so we're going to have to redo that. So I'm glad you went ahead and gave that. And they are in revival. I believe it starts at 6:30 in the evenings. And their church is located about a mile and a half west of Tractor Supply. And that being said, we're going to get right back to Pastor Dwight. Believe the testimony.
Believe the testimony. And I'll tell you what, too. I want to invite you to come and hear that testimony anytime you want. If you don't have a church home you already go to at Living Waters, you can come to Living Waters. In Burns Flat, we're at 109 West Webb Street by the high school football field. And we have church on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. to about 12 p.m. And Tuesday night, just worship and intercession, and Wednesday night at 7, Bible study and worship. So you're welcome to come and join us. Getting back into this Word of God, and before you pack your notebook up, Neve, I'll give you some scriptures to write down. I know you got to go. And if you're taking notes, please write these down, because we're not going to get to all these today. But here are some testimonies of healing. This is only from the Gospel of Matthew. Write down Matthew 9:27 through 31. Matthew 9:20 through 22, Matthew 9:35 through 10:1,
Matthew what?
9:35 through 10:1, Matthew 15:29 through 31. These are just kind of snippets out of each one of these testimonies of healing. Matthew 19, verse 1 and 2, Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13, Matthew 21, verse 21, 22. And each one of those passages of scriptures that I've just mentioned to you is part of a separate time that Jesus performed a physical healing for either multitudes of people or individual people. And you know what those are? Those are testimonies given to you and I in the Word of God to build our faith. And I'm going to take you back where we started in 1 John. It's this. We need to believe the testimony of God. We just need to believe it. We have a choice. I mean, if I told you this, if I told you, imagine this. If I said, well, my name is Dwight Shepherd, and I live in Burns Flat, Oklahoma, and I pastor Living Waters Church, and I've been pastoring that church for over 26 years. You say, well, I believe you're Dwight Shepherd because, I have friends that knew you back then, and I believe that, but I don't know that I believe you're a pastor. I don't know that I believe you've been there for 26 years. It's like, how would you feel if you said something to me that was all true, and I told you, well, I believe the first half of it. How would that make you feel? I'm going to tell you something. It'd probably raise my blood pressure. It'd probably make me feel pretty insulted. I want to ask you something as a Christian brother and sister, and I want to say this too. I want to say this. I didn't come today to provoke anybody to frustration or hurt or harm. If you're trying to receive your healing, I'm on your team, man. We're all walking in this thing together, and the faith walk, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But it's God's will for us to live by faith, and we're to believe the promises of God. And the more we do, and the more we learn how to take God at his word, the easier and the better life gets. Now, think about this. I don't think there are any Christians. I can't imagine there could be any Christians that don't believe in have faith in God's forgiveness. I mean, how could you be a Christian and not have faith in God's forgiveness, right? Well, how did you learn about God's forgiveness? Well, people told me about God's forgiveness. Uh-huh. How else? Well, I was reading in the Bible about God's forgiveness. Like I can read verses like 1 John 1:9. He says, if we confess our faults to God, our sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just. So if I said to you today, hey, somebody comes to you and they say, I need forgiveness. And you, what would you say to them as a Christian? I'd say, ask God. He'll forgive you. He said, but you don't know what I've done. I said, well, yeah, well, I know what he's done. And if you sincerely want forgiveness, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is drawing your heart to the Father. And there's no way that he's not going to forgive you when you ask. I mean, it's just, you say, well, how do you know? Maybe God doesn't want me forgiven. I'd be like, no, God wants everybody forgiven. Well, where'd you learn that from? I learned it from the testimony. You see where I'm going with this? Where did you learn that forgiveness is God's will? I learned it from the Bible. I learned it from people preaching it from the Bible. Exactly. How come so many people, get ready, how come so many people have so much trouble believing that God not only wants me forgiven, but he also wants me to be healed physically? The answer is because they're not believing the testimony, and the testimony's not being preached in that way. And you say, well, why would preachers preach about forgiveness but not preach about healing? Being honest? Because you can't see forgiveness. But you can see healing, or at least the manifestation of it. If I pray for somebody, if I preach healing and nobody gets healed, oh my gosh, what am I going to look like? If I pray for somebody and they just walk away just as sick as they were, then what's that? Oh my gosh, what's that? I failed. I might fail. It's like, well, no, we've got to go back here and look at the testimony. We got to live by what God says, not by what we feel. And the reason why forgiveness is so prevalent in the body of Christ, you can't find a Christian that don't believe in forgiveness. And if somebody could come to any Christian and say, do you believe God will forgive me if I ask him to? Every Christian will say, of course he will. Of course God will forgive you. And then we go, I'll pray with you. You can pray right now. God will forgive you. And they pray and they say, Lord, forgive me for that thing. No, no, no. They say, all right. And they look up at you and they go, did God forgive me? And you would go, yes, he forgave you. How do you know? I don't feel, you ready? I don't feel forgiven. That don't mean nothing. If you sincerely ask God to forgive you, he forgave you. Now, here's where the feelings got to get in line. You got to start agreeing with God regardless of what you feel or don't feel. We're not feely-feely. We're faith people. The Bible says in four places, two Old, two New Testament, the just or those who are justified, the righteous, shall live by faith, not by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the problem with that one is we all want to see it in order to believe it. But seeing even is not believing, because you've all seen things. I've seen things and said, wow, I can't believe that. Wow, that's wild. Seeing is not believing. Believing is choosing to believe. And you can choose to believe whatever you want to choose to believe. And here's where I want to get back to this before I conclude today. I want you to understand that there is no middle ground. You either believe God or you don't. There's not this, well, I don't like doubt God. I would never call God a liar, but I don't really believe that, you know, like healing is for me or, you know, you better back up on that, because this testimony says something different. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus healed every single person that ever came to him. I challenge you. You think I'm not speaking the truth? Go check me out. Go read all the Gospels multiple times, and you make note of every time Jesus turned someone away. You don't even worry picking up a pen. You won't need it, because there's not one single occurrence, not one, where Jesus sent someone away. Sorry, it's not God's will to heal you. Sorry, your situation is too far gone, even for God. No, it never happened. There was no one with a need so small that Jesus said, nah, I'll just deal with it. And there was no one with a need so great that Jesus said, sorry, can't help you. Wish I could. He healed them all. Over and over and over and over and over and over again in the gospel says, he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. The closest that you're going to come to finding him turning someone away, there was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman. Means she was a pagan woman. She don't have no covenant with God. She's not a Jew. She's not. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel first. She comes at a time when that wasn't the healing for those outside the people of God wasn't happening. And here comes this Syrophoenician woman, and she says to Jesus, my daughter, you know, she's bad off. She needs to be healed. She's got a demon. Jesus said to her, it's not fit for me to take the children's bread. This sounds terrible, but you've got to understand. He said, it's not fit, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs. Like, say what? I thought you said Jesus didn't reject nobody. That's not the end of the story. She replied, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus looked at her and said, for your response, go your way. It'll be as you believe. And the healing took place miles away. It took place. That's as close as you can get to Jesus rejecting someone, but he still didn't reject her. The healing still took place because of her faith that he could do it and he would be willing to do it. She forced the issue. She refused to take no for an answer. Now, what was Jesus talking about when he said it's not fit to give the children's bread to the dogs? He goes, the time right then was the Father sent Jesus to minister to the people of Israel first, to give them the opportunity to choose to accept or reject him, and then open the gospel up to the Gentiles. At that point, the gospel wasn't open to the Gentiles as of yet, except for those few Gentiles who would come anyway because they heard. And he didn't turn the centurion away either, did he? The Roman centurion? He didn't turn him away. Jesus, matter of fact, said, I've not seen faith like this in Israel. This man said, if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I ain't heard anybody in Israel talking that faith. And so the man's faith superseded the fact that he didn't even have a right to ask. He really didn't. He really didn't even have a covenant right to ask. But you and I today, we have covenant right to ask. And we have faith because we can get faith from reading the Word of God and hearing from the Holy Spirit. We are literally, out of all the people who've ever lived on the face of the earth, we are the ones who will be held the most accountable for what we believed or didn't believe from this testimony. Because no one else ever in the history of mankind ever had a smartphone in their hand that would look up Bible verses for them. No one else on history of the planet could ever say, you know, hey, Siri, what's the Bible say about forgiveness? And, you know, and it was put it out there for you, or Google or whatever you use. No one else ever had those kind of luxurious spiritual tools, but we do. We have the Bible written in our own language in multiple translations, some of them easier to understand and some of them a little more difficult, but we can compare it. We can turn on our TV and hear the Word of God being preached, turn on the radio, turn on the internet, hear the Word of God being preached everywhere. And I assure you, friends, we will be held accountable for what we've heard. We will be held accountable for it. When you hear it, you're expected by the Lord to take it. And I don't expect you to believe me. Why would you believe me? Don't believe me because of me. Believe me because I'm saying what he said. And you go check it out for yourself. Go look at all those verses I gave out a while ago. And you tell me after reading those, is it God's will to heal? Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He healed every one of those. And that's just from one gospel. And that's not even all of them. That's not even all of them. Now, let's continue our reading here in Matthew 8. We got a few minutes left. The leper came, said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing, touched him, made him clean. Now watch this. Jesus, verse 5, Jesus entered Capernaum, centurion came. Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. I will what? I will go and heal him. Well, if it's not God's will, why would Jesus do it? It must have been the Father's will. Jesus said, I will go and heal him. So did Jesus ever do anything that wasn't Father God's will? No. He always did the will of the Father, so he's going to go heal him. The servant, the centurion said, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I tell this one, go, go. And this one come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, though not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's talking about the great gathering in heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom, that's talking about the Jews who didn't believe, the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside in darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me quote Jesus. If you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, if you reject me before men, I will reject you before the Father in heaven. He said, well, I would never deny Jesus. good. Keep it that way. Don't deny Jesus the right to be your Savior. Don't deny Jesus the right to be your forgiver. You know where I'm going, don't you? Don't deny Jesus the right to be your healer. Don't deny Jesus the right to be your provider. Don't deny Jesus the right to be your protector. Don't deny Jesus the right to be your peace. Come on. There are people in our day today, man, so many people, and Christian people. People who identify as Christian, people who go to church, people who have a relationship with Jesus, but there's this area in their life that he needs to work on because they turn to this, that, and the other thing to find their comfort and their peace. Sometimes it comes in a bottle. Sometimes you roll it up, smoke it. Sometimes you drink it, whatever it is they do, or they shop for peace, or they smoke for peace, or they pop pills for peace, or whatever it is, or, you know, Jesus is your peace. You need peace today? You're only going to find it in him. Amen. He's your peace and he's your healer. Keep reading. We've got to finish this real quick. This is all going to be right here in Matthew 8. So after that centurion, in verse 13, Jesus said, "Go, it will be done just as you believed." Just as you believed. What is it so many times that keeps healing from manifesting? Answer, you don't really believe it. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes there's a spiritual hindrance. There's things going on. And well, how long does it take to receive your healing? It takes as long as it takes. Well, what if I'm believing God for healing and I don't receive it on this side of heaven and I pass away and go to heaven? I said, well, I guess you're in heaven. Well, you ain't going to be worried about you didn't receive your healing. I promise you that. But think about this. If you were diagnosed with some terminal disease and you only had 6 months to live, the doctor said, and you really only did live 6 months, do you want that 6 months to be spent believing God or doubting God? Do you want your last breath to be taken in doubt, wondering why God didn't show up for you? Or do you want your last breath to be taken knowing and trusting that God is good and it is his will for you to be healed? You say, yeah, but you fixed to die. I know. You're gonna, if you pass away from this earth, you're going to receive the greatest healing ever known to man. And I'm not saying that's the healing that Jesus went around doing, because he didn't. He did not do that. Nobody that came to Jesus, this is tough, but when they came to Jesus on behalf of their loved one didn't die. You say, well, Pastor, that ain't right. Yeah, you can't talk like that, because we've all, even you, Pastor, even you got people you love that you care for, you praying for, and they died. You're exactly right. And it hurts. And we scratch our heads and we go, I don't understand. But listen, don't base your faith on your experiences. Base your faith on the Word of God. Because it wasn't God withholding it. I can promise you that from the Word. You say, well, why didn't we receive it? I don't know. And you don't know, and nobody will. We won't know on this side. I don't think we will know on this side of eternity. Maybe in an individual circumstance, God can show us, this is why you didn't receive that. But every individual circumstance is different, and you can't take one thing and say, well, it was because they wasn't believing it. Well, you don't know what they were believing. I don't know what they were believing. Maybe the person, listen, maybe I'm praying for Aunt Thelma Lou, and I want to keep her around, and Aunt Thelma Lou's got her eyes on heaven. And she ain't telling nobody this, but she would rather pass away than have to live in her old body or her disease-ridden body, her pain-filled body. And she's not telling us that. But if I'm asking God to keep her here and she's asking God, I want to go be with you, I'm pretty sure he's going to listen more to her than he is to me. But she's not going to tell me she's not going to tell me that's what she wants, because we've made it sound like that's selfish. You just want to get out of here. And you're not thinking about us who will be left behind. So for the sake of us, Aunt Thelma says, I'm standing. But we don't really know what's going on with her. You say, is that what caused him to die? Maybe. But we're not here to debate what causes somebody to die or what causes somebody to be healed. We're here today to establish the fact that this testimony says that Jesus is our healer, and that don't change. And that's what I want you believing. If I was your pastor and you say you're sick, I guarantee you this, I'm going to be praying with you. I'm going to be believing with you for your healing no matter what happens, up, down, in, out, whatever. It doesn't matter. Right up to the day you cross over into heaven or you receive, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of healings physical healings where people recovered from things even as serious as stage 4 cancer. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've laid my hands on a man's stomach who had a big, huge tumor in it and seen it like kick like a baby and just shrink down in. Miracles still happen. It's not because of me or this one or that one or anything else. It's simply because of this. It's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed while he was here. He delegated his authority to heal when he left. The healer is still here. The Holy Spirit never left us. He's the one who did the work in Jesus, and he's the one who does the work now. He's the one who does it. Amen. Amen. So in this 8th chapter of Matthew, and I'm trying to close, when Jesus came to Peter's house, verse 14, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. It's just a fever. It's not terminal disease. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. He healed her, in other words. Nobody even asked him to, but he likes to eat. What do you mean? She's the cook. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. That means she prepared a meal. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he did something else. What did he do? 4 words. Healed all the sick. See that? That's in your Bible too, not just mine. He healed all the sick. Verse 17, this is the icing on our cake today. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And he quotes Isaiah 53. He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases. Matthew says that these healings that Jesus was performing on earth were the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Now, in your own time, because we don't have time, go back and read Isaiah 53. And you'll see what all Jesus confirmed. And then write this one down in your notes, 1 Peter 2, 23 through 25. I can tell you what 24 says. It says, by his stripes you were healed. And it, again, is a direct quote of Isaiah 53. And then one last thing for you to jot down and look at, I'll quote it to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. That's Psalms 103, verse 3. He forgives all your sin and heals all your infirmities, your diseases. That's what God said in this testimony. Now, remember what? When you believe the testimony, and what about when you don't believe the testimony? Well, I ain't going to call God a liar. I'm going to go back and read this until, if I'm struggling to believe it, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and keep reading it and keep praying about it until I do believe it. Mm. I'm not going to continue walking in unbelief and justify it. I'm going to go back until I do believe it. Because if there's something in this word of God, this testimony that I can't work up, I can't find myself believing, I need to go back until I do believe it. And then part of that is simply making a decision. If this says it, that settles it. I don't care how I feel about it. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what your story is. I don't care what my story is. This is the truth. This is the truth. My experiences, they're my experiences. But this is the truth. Amen? Somebody say, you're in denial. I'm denying doubt. Amen. Amen. And that's all I got to say about that today. Amen.
Sometimes when I'm struggling to believe and have strong faith about something, I will just pray and say, I believe, help with my unbelief. I don't know where that's found, but I know that's in there.
Yeah, that father that brought his son to Jesus. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the Hour of Power. From me, Tina, from Sister Neva, and from Pastor Dwight, have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Amen.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on TheRockChristianMusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find the Rock Christian music and take us with you everywhere.